Well, welcome to National Bugle Radio. This is your show for, what day is today? Tuesday, November 14th, 2017. It is 1:01 p.m. on the East Coast, 12:01 p.m. in Central Time, and whatever time where you may be. I'm your host, Patrick Slattery. I will be taking calls this hour. The number here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, there is a lot going on. We do live in interesting times. I think that was a Chinese curse, wasn't it? May you live in interesting times. Well, and we do live in interesting times. And every day, every news cycle, there's so much going on. So there are two things I want to start off talking about, and we'll see where it leads to, and we'll see who calls in. We've got this whole Roy Moore thing going on. And I guess within the past 24 hours or so, another individual has emerged, has been dug up, or has been manufactured. A woman alleging even more improper conduct from a 31, 32-year-old while she was a teenager. Now, apparently, as the story goes, when she was 16 or so, Judge Moore signed her yearbook. The picture of the yearbook is online, so it must be true. Somebody writing in cursive, which is what we used to do back in the 1970s. We still wrote in cursive, and somebody signed her yearbook with the little line, Roy Moore, or Roy Moore Public Defender, or Roy Moore District Attorney, I guess that's what it was. And so apparently this woman surfaced, and she was sitting next to a Jewish activist attorney by the name of Gloria Allred, who's of reasonable notoriety. I've heard her name in the past. I don't know a whole lot about her, but I know she's a Jewish activist. We had a caller on the show I partake in earlier today on Stormfront Radio, who a woman who was just saying that she thought the woman making the accusations was entirely unbelievable. Other people, I think the governor of Alabama perhaps, is saying that she's convinced that it's believable. Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. The alleged incident would be that he used to hang out in a restaurant that she was a waitress at, and one day this offered to give her a ride, and instead of giving her a ride, he tried to make out with her in the car and touched her inappropriately, and she left the car, and she got out of the car, and then he sped away. And then I don't know if this was alleged to be in 1977 or a couple of years later, but then 38, 40 years later, she suddenly decided to talk about it. Well, the idea that in 1977 or 1979 there could have been a 30 or 32-year-old man who tried to make out with a 16 or 18-year-old girl in the car, and that she resisted and got out of the car and he sped off. I think that kind of scenario probably transpired more than once in those years, so it's not entirely implausible. Whether this is what Judge Moore did or not, I wouldn't know. And, here's the thing. I don't want men making overly aggressive advances at women. And I don't really – I had a cousin who was going out with a, when I guess when she was about that age, late teens, she was going out with somebody in her 30s, and the family didn't like it. Her family didn't like it. Well, they wound up getting married, and they're still married. But, you know, to me, it's a big age difference. Now, Judge Moore wound up marrying a woman 14 years younger than him, a few years after this, and he's still married to her. So, you know, what to think of it? Well, this is what I think. I think that we have got a Congress that is full of traitors, that is full of people who, you know, they went headlong into this 9/11 narrative that we've got to make war, endless wars in the Middle East, which benefit nobody really but Israel. Israel wants the wars. We've got a Congress that is, that, you know, 50-something years ago was tricked, and they really were tricked into passing this 1965 Immigration Act. But in the meantime, it's been clear that the Immigration Act is being used and exploited, misused and exploited in order to replace our population with third world imports. Now, you know, there was a certain amount of outrage when our auto industry was decimated and replaced by imported automobiles. Why isn't there more outrage when our people are being decimated and replaced by foreign imports? So, I don't know. It's not as if Judge Moore is necessarily our savior, but like I've said in the past, if he's if all of these allegations are true and he joins Congress, if he's really was that big of a creep and potentially even transgressed some legal lines, although that's not at all clear, and you know, men did try to make out with women in the past. It's something that it's been part of our history, although I think as part of an effort to, frankly, and I'm serious when I say this, as part of an effort to repress white reproduction, our boys in high school and in colleges are being indoctrinated to, that basically any contact that they initiate with a woman without their express prior written consent is tantamount to rape. I mean, I think there's really an effort to, and you know, black boys aren't getting taught this. Mexican boys aren't being taught this. This is aimed at whites to make it impossible for, you know, any white to get a girlfriend. I'm not saying that men should be aggressive in trying to seduce women, but if all of these are true, Judge Moore would hardly be the creepiest person to sit in the United States Congress. He'd probably be somewhere around average in terms of creeposity. And if he's willing to stick up for us even a little bit on certain issues in a Congress that has sold us down the river to their Jewish financial overlords and media overlords in terms of wars, in terms of replacement-level immigration, in terms of just repressing whites, making it's not even okay to say it's okay to be white. If he's going to those scoundrels in Congress have done far worse than anything that's been alleged of Judge Moore. So that's my position on that. The other thing I wanted to get into was Tucker Carlson, his interview with this black so-called professor from Yeshiva University, the most Jewish university in America, and this professor wrote a letter, which naturally was published in the New York Times, because, you know, the New York Times wouldn't publish anything I've written, but they will publish something that if a black professor, so-called professor, because anybody who actually thinks like this, really, could they have really written a dissertation of any worthiness? I don't think so. This black professor says he's teaching his kids not to trust white people, not to be friends with white people, because, you know, white people don't run and come to the defense of people of color when people of color are obviously at such great danger from, you know, these nasty racist white people, which is complete nonsense. Unfortunately, Tucker Carlson couldn't say, you know, because of the taboos in our society, because of the Jewish enforced taboos, Tucker Carlson couldn't say, what are you talking about? Look at crime statistics. A black is 27 more times more likely to assault violently a white than vice versa. He just couldn't say that. He had to say, well, whites and blacks are the same. And if you don't think so, it's racist. So you're a racist for saying that whites are less trustworthy than blacks. He couldn't say that. We're in this weird society where we're not allowed to say it's okay to be white, where we have to go along with this madness that people of color are somehow at mortal risk from Donald Trump and from white supremacists. It's all craziness. Well, I have a caller. I'm going to go to the lines now. We have Paul from New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi, what's on your mind today?
I wanted to talk about how Jewish influence in AIPAC has inverted what should be basically what I consider a patriotic form of foreign policy, you know. When you look at Iran is a theocratic republic, and that means they have a representative body, and above all, they have an executive supreme leader known as the Ayatollah, who can overturn laws if he sees it runs against their Islamic principles. And then we have Saudi Arabia, which is a hereditary monarchy,
mm-hmm.
where it is autocratic and ruled by a king. Now, Iran isn't a perfect government. I mean, it's not exactly like the American government, but at least it has some representation. They have elections. They run candidates. The people get some semblance of choice. In Saudi Arabia, there is no such thing
mm-hmm.
at all. And so it is an inversion of our very principles that we would allow or go along that Iran is somehow a hostile nation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the kicker, right? Did you know, according to the, I think it's the Global Terrorism Database, it's known as, and it's run out of a college in Maryland. And basically what they do is they count over the years terrorist acts, and then they basically write them down on a piece of paper and list who did it. And lo and behold, it turns out that 94 to 95% of all terrorist acts are committed by Sunni, the Sunni sect of Islam, and 6% are committed by the Shiites. And as we know, Iran is the Shiite form of government. And yet here, because we're run by AIPAC, and basically we have Jews and Israelis in this country ruling over us through the media, they've talked and brainwashed our talk show hosts like Sean Hannity and others
mm-hmm.
to champ at the bit and, you know, like get all angry and wanting to invade and attack in Iran. And even Donald Trump buys into this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Saudi Arabia is way less like us. Now, I have a rule when it comes to judging which side to root for or who to cheer on. And my rule is I root for people who are more like myself. Get it? So since I'm of European extraction, if I see a fight between a white guy and a black guy, generally I root for the white guy, unless the white guy is so over the top immoral and it's so outrageous and against fair play. But generally those are my rules. So I want to see the NFL destroyed because I realize it's mostly occupied by black liberals, and so I want to see them disempowered. And that's my mode of life. And I think our founders would have embarked on something along those lines when it comes to choosing which side we should favor. You know, Washington, his farewell address, you know, said we should be optimally neutral and, you know, take no side. He also talks about how because you have certain people with dual, well, they didn't say dual allegiance, but with foreign attachments, and they have a favorite nation, i.e., and it's how ironic how he almost foretold the influence of a Jewish power, in a sense. He didn't call it out, but he did say how, you know, an artful and enterprising minority could rule your country, but how those who favor Israel look upon with suspicion upon those who favor Iran that's in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself, I'm an Iranian sympathizer, you know, and partly because I see what happened in the 1980s. Now, during the 80s, we know America chose sides with Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
We helped transfer,
and this is... For those people who didn't live through the 1980s, for 8 years, it was a very, very bloody war between Iran and Iraq, and the United States effectively sided with Saddam Hussein's Iraq.
Exactly, and we provided the probably chemical know-how, that I'm not certain about, but the know-how to build chemical weapons, and more likely, this is a fact, we did supply them with what are known as chemical precursors so they could build utilize mustard gas. And one of those people was Colin Powell himself. He helped, the targeting of Iranian troop positions and provided information to the Iraqis so they could target Iranian troop positions with chemical weapons. And so then people wonder why the Iranians might have performed terrorist acts against the United States. Now, and you know what's ironic? A few weeks ago, Mr. Trump was talking about, you know, Iranian terrorism and all the rest, and he's going along with that whole nonsense, you know, ignoring, like I said, about that 96% of all terrorism or 94% of all terrorism is committed by Sunnis. Right, but he pulls out of his buttocks that whole canard of Iranian terrorism. But the Iranian terrorism that transpired was way back in the 80s, and like I said, there hasn't been any Iranian terrorism really in the past 25 years. That's
right.
All, I think, a response to our choosing sides with Iraq at the time.
The United States got involved in Iran, you know, after World War II. In World War II, there had been a Shah. I guess his name was, what was it, Mohammed Pahlavi.
Pahlavi, probably.
Yeah. And then he, or maybe it was Reza Pahlavi, and he was sympathetic to the Germans, and so he was basically bumped aside, and his son, who would have been, I guess, a teenager, was put on the throne. And I guess there was a what do you call it, a regent, somebody who was helping him rule. And then in the wake of World War II, Iran was a constitutional monarchy with a prime minister elected by parliament that was in charge of day-to-day activities, and the Shah was a figurehead. When a nationalist politician became the prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, and especially when he attempted to nationalize the oil industry, which I believe was 1953, there was a CIA-engineered coup d'etat where you had, you know, the CIA under... Well, we'll get into this when we come back from the break. It's certainly relevant to today.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger... You know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Back, Paul, I'm glad you're still with me. So I just want to update, just do a thumbnail sketch of recent Iranian history. And I during the break, I did check. So you had Reza Shah Pahlavi, who was the father of the person we came to know as the Shah of Iran. He was the father. He was forced to abdicate by the British and the Russians in 1941. And this left his 21-year-old son on the throne. And then in 1953, when Mohammad Mossadegh nationalized the oil industry at the expense of British petroleum, and the British asked the Americans to do something about it. They wanted to get their oil interests back. The Americans sent over Kermit Roosevelt, who was the grandson of Theodore Roosevelt, and Norman Schwarzkopf Sr., who was the father of Stormin' Norman of the first Gulf War fame. And they organized, they had plenty of money, and working out of the U.S. Embassy, they organized strikes and, street demonstrations. And with the recent history that we've seen in our country of, say, George Soros funding Antifa, you can see how this type of thing could destabilize a country. It wound up with Mossadegh being overthrown. The Shah who had gone into exile came back and exercised rule as basically an autocrat for the next 26 years. The Iranians didn't forget that, and they didn't forget that this was organized out of the American embassy. And so when Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the Shah, in the late 1970s, he got sick, he was unpopular, and he wound up being overthrown in this Iranian revolution. The Iranian state, the current Iranian state, the Islamic Republic, it's got this structure, like you said, Paul, where you have kind of a dual structure. You have a theocratic structure, and then you have a, you know, more typical parliamentary presidential structure. They've only had in these past, what would it be now, 38 years, they've only had two supreme leaders. The first was Ayatollah Khomeini. There are many ayatollahs, but this Ayatollah Khomeini was kind of the figurehead. Maybe you could call him a leader of the revolution. He was elected, and he was already advanced age. And during his reign, his period in time, they had the Iran-Iraq war. When he died, he was replaced by the current Ayatollah Khomeini, a very similar name. And he has been the supreme leader for, I guess, close to, well, I guess 28, 29 years now, maybe 29 years. And he was not elected by the people the way the first supreme leader was, but according to the Constitution, he's elected by a council of experts, or assembly of experts. This assembly of experts is elected by the people. You know, you could almost look at it as a kind of a like electoral college type thing. One of the other duties of the assembly of experts is they get to disqualify candidates for office. So they have parliamentary elections and they have presidential elections, and they're very contested, and different parties win. Sometimes it's, you know, one faction, sometimes it's another faction. They're real meaningful elections. You know, the one mark against them is you have this assembly of experts that is allowed to nullify people's candidacies. Well, guess what? In America, we've got a Zionist media that takes upon itself the exact same power, and that's what they're doing to Judge Moore, whether you like Judge Moore or not. There's an attempt to disqualify him from the media, and they tried to do the same thing to Donald Trump. So the idea that we're much better than Iran is nonsense. And I'm going to finish up my rant by saying, Paul, I went to the University of Maryland's global terrorism database, and they have a map here, and it's a very interesting map. Iran is flanked by a sea of red. There's terrorism all over Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, whereas Iran itself, it's spotless. There's nothing here. There's no, and to the extent people say Iran sponsors terrorism, really, give me a break. It was Iran that has helped defeat ISIS in Syria and Iraq. So Iran's involvement with terrorism is counterterrorism. Okay, Paul. What?
Yeah.
I guess I talked through this short segment, but when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you what you think of all this.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldanysoap.com. That's oldanysoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldanysoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers providing for...
Okay, we are back. So, Paul, what do you have to say?
Well, I wanted to say just a few more points because I don't want to hog your show, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing is, we as Americans, we should have a natural preference for forms of government that are more similar like ours over monarchical tyrannies like what Saudi Arabia is.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the perversion of Christianity. You know, I explained to a Catholic friend how if we lived in a theocratic republic, perhaps we'd have when a legislation like homosexual marriage came into purview of the public, that the Pope, and it went through the House and Senate, the Pope could overrule it based on theological grounds, and then that would be it. There would be no homosexual marriage. And so, you see what I'm saying? If a lot of Christians would like a theocratic republic.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Old Testament Bible says specifically, from among your people, you shall choose your king. And that's exactly what, in a sense, what is happening in Iran. They choose their supreme leader from their own people. And so their form of government is very similar to ours, and that's why I don't see them as an enemy as much as Saudi Arabia is. And I think our founders, such as Thomas Paine in his book, The Rights of Man, would agree with me in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a sense, we are better Americans than these Zionists who have perverted our foreign policy as they invert all logic by their sycophantic love for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
right.
The disgust I have for the Zionist and the Zionist agenda. And let's just get to the end it now. Is the real reason I think for why the Israelis wanted to destroy Syria and it's not only for the extension of potential territory of Israel, but also because Israel was so handily defeated in Lebanon by Hezbollah in 2006, and they have to get even. It's just part of their nature, their tribalism, their ethnocentrism, and their lust for revenge. And but it's not the Israelis who I'm disgusted by. It's more the American Christian Zionists who are willing to fight and die for this nation and group of people who basically abhors them and think they're dirty beasts anyway. It's disgusting.
Right. Hey, here's a fun fact.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the 2006 Israeli bombing of Lebanon this Washington Post reporter who came up with this 14-year-old girl to accuse Judge Moore. Her name is Beth Reinhard, and she's also notorious for in 2006 attacking a Florida gubernatorial candidate, trying to knock him out of the race. What was his disqualifying crime? Well, he was a sitting congressman, and he had missed the vote where Congress expressed its support for Israel's bombing of Lebanon. So it's the same reporter.
Yeah, well, just to wrap it up, I don't think it was more a bombing. Israel tried an invasion, and then Hezbollah really used incredible tactics and defeated the Israeli army, and the Israeli army had to retreat from southern Lebanon. So that really, I think, gets at the Israelis, that defeat. And so they work through proxies and use Saudi Arabia as their proxy and ISIS as their proxy to get even. And that's what's happening now. And they're trying to weaken Iran through ISIS. And now they're trying to, from the looks of it, step up the might of Saudi Arabia, so then there might actually be a hot war between Saudi Arabia and Iran.
Yeah.
Either way, it's none of our business. We shouldn't be meddling in the region. We shouldn't provoking wars. And as Washington said, we should steer clear of foreign entanglements. And on that note, sir, thank you.
Thank you for your call. I agree with you 100%. Okay, let us go to Dan from Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking the call. I just want to agree with you on a lot of the sexual sex offender propaganda.
Hey, can you speak up a little bit so we can hear you better?
Can you hear me okay now?
Now it's better. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to agree with you. A lot of the sex offender, kind of like, you know, underage girls, it is to create an atmosphere of fear and to discourage white people from basically marrying and having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would agree with you on that. I mean, my grandma was 16 and my grandpa was 21 when they got married. I mean, I think it should be illegal, but I mean, if you're under 18, but the laws have gotten so strict that it creates this basically like 1984, you know, where if you read the book 1984, mm-hmm. they had what's called, I think, sex crime. And that's basically what American society has been doing, you know, with the feminist movement, with the sexual harassment stuff. Basically, it's like that book, 1984, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. And yesterday, I got out my almanac from the 1970s, and I looked at the state laws on age of marriage. And of course, they have ages, typically 18, where you can get married without parental consent, but with parental consent, the ages for women, for females, you know, it was typically somewhere between, well, 16 was common, 15 and 14. There was plenty of places with 15 and 14. I think Alabama was 14, and New Hampshire was 13. So those were the laws in the 1970s. I haven't taken out a more recent almanac to check how they may have changed, and I suspect they probably have changed, but that was how it was in the 1970s.
Yeah, I think they try to delay breeding, basically. That's what a lot of the college promotion is too, as well. You know, they can get girls basically to get up to, like, their 30s without having kids. mm-hmm. then the chance of them ever having kids is very slim. I mean, my right. graduating class from my university, I think probably only 25% of the girls, like, oh, have kids, you know, right. and then now it's too late for them.
Well, and that's right. If you don't start until your 30s, you're likely to have fewer kids. But let's just say this. Let's just say every woman has three kids, but which isn't the case by a long shot. But if you had white women having three kids in their 30s and Hispanic or black non-whites having three kids in their 20s, you're still going to have, over the course of generations, the non-white population overtaking the white population. Even if they have the same fertility, but if a generation is that much longer, they're going to be overtaken. Of course, you know, white birth rate is well below the replacement level of 2, and you know, you've got all this massive immigration. The immigrants tend to have huge numbers. They tend to have larger families. The blacks tend to reproduce at much younger ages, and they have higher birth rates as well. And so that's what's happening to us demographically. Feminism has contributed to it. You know, this this kind of, you know, you need the prior written consent in order to make a move on a woman. That that has something to do with it, because that's so many of the norms. You know, the idea of zero population growth, the idea that there's a population explosion and we have to keep track of our, you know, keep check on our birth rates. This is something that only white people were responding to, at least in this country. And I think this is intentional. I didn't used to think so, but I do now.
Yeah, I would agree. And I know, like, I think some Jewish rabbis in Israel, they promote having as many kids as you can, as early as you can. You know,
yeah, they sure do.
Promote their people.
Yeah.
But and it's pretty scary.
And the Chabad-Lubavitch movement here, or the Hasidic Jews in New York and New Jersey, that's exactly what they do. And their high birth rates are subsidized by the white taxpayer.
Uh-huh.
And you see the same thing. Mark Collette was on the show yesterday. You see the exact same thing in Britain, where the white taxpayer is subsidizing their own replacement by primarily Muslim immigrants.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's once they put that junk in especially women's heads about, you know, the glorious Steinem, how you're oppressed and how evil the 50s were, just the whole agenda, it just confuses them to the point where they're almost, it's like a psychological damage to them, you know, and it's very difficult to ever come back from that, I think, for a lot of them.
Right, and it's aimed at whites. It's really not aimed at minorities. It's been aimed at whites, and it's been effective. People are waking up. There's a lot of awakening going on. I don't think it's too late, but we've got to act, and we've got to act fast.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for calling, Dan. I look forward to you calling again. Okay, next we'll go to Davey from Texas. Davey, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Do you recall your question you posed to me the other day about the bankers?
About the biker?
The bankers, you know, in John 8:44, where Jesus tells them about their progenitor, and you ask the question about their so-called brethren, the Judahites.
Yeah, I remember the conversation. I don't specifically remember the question.
Well, anyway, that was a great question. I just wanted to thank you for that, because it caused me to think about it. I thought, well, you know, right there in John 8:33, they've already convicted themselves of being who they are. It's just that most people don't really look at that and try to understand it. You know, it just goes in one ear and out the other. But I just want to thank you for that. That was great. On this Judge Roy Moore issue, I'd like to, you know, give him a standing ovation if he would ever drag out that ninth commandment and hold their, you know, the synagogue of Satan terrorists, hold their feet to the fire and prove, you know, because the ninth commandment specifically prohibits bearing false witness. right?
Right.
That, I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, I'm not calling up to pick a fight with you. I'm just saying, man, the truth, or it isn't. I mean, why would anybody stand up in public and say, oh, let's all bow down and worship these lying murderers over here because they're really extra special lying murderers. You know what I mean? What kind of sense that makes?
And yet that is increasingly mainstream, whether you're talking about Christian Zionists like Reverend Hagee or whether you're talking about the so-called, you know, mainstream Protestant churches that, you know, that, that liberals attend.
Right,
in their own ways.
501c3 state-sponsored cult compounds for Jew worshipers. You know, they absolutely must believe the Jewish lies. But at John 8:44, Jesus said specifically, they're lying. So they're bearing false witness, period. Now, the question is, why would anybody want to be a proselyte to their bad faith religion of Talmudic Judaism? Because they're not going to turn into all 12 tribes. Even if they're from the land of Gog and Magog and they convert to Talmudic Judaism and move to Palestine and claim they're all 12 tribes because they're Jewish, they're not going to turn into Israel. But if the people who can read all the way to Deuteronomy 33 and discover for themselves there are no Jewish people, all the way to Deuteronomy 33, they'd be going, well, where do these Jesus-hating terrorists come from who hate the truth and hate justice? When you get the mugshots and look at who owns the media, who prints the currency, and you know who pays all these crack whores in Congress, they're all they got that same ugly rat face look on their face. I mean, come on. Anyway, hey man, have you ever seen? I mean, I got a list of books here, but have you ever seen that book, The Tango Affair?
The Tango?
Tango Affair. Have you ever heard of it?
The Tango Affair. No, I have not.
Man,
what's
I just
it
found it in some old, you know, used bookstore, and it's a short little read, but it's very interesting. There's like two sentences in that book that I'd recommend you dwell on for just a few minutes. Are you familiar with Tolkien and The Return of the King?
Well, I mean, I know Tolkien, I know his style, but no, I'm not familiar with The Return of the King.
Well, they made, you know, a movie. They actually did a pretty good job with all of that, but, you know, in that movie, they show these orcs, and some literary critics will say, oh, Tolkien didn't write an allegory, but I believe he did. That's my opinion, you know what I mean? And I believe the orcs are an allegorical representation of the Judeo-Christian. That's my opinion.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with, I haven't seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies. So what is an orc like? What makes an orc like a Christian Zionist?
Well, it's more like what makes a Judeo-Christian like an orc. Orcs are constructed and manufactured in Mordor. And, you know, it's a big, long story. It's you know, obviously it's fiction, but, you know, when you kind of OD on the truth, every once in a while you kind of like to get a little recess from, you know, hard, cold facts. Anyway, for those that have read, I actually read The Hobbit back in like 1974, I believe it was, or 73, and then, you know, proceeded on from there over the years. But, you know, the fact is that there's just such a compelling amount of evidence to convict the professional liars and mass murderers who claim they're the Jewish terrorist cult leaders. Whether it's Milikowski, the prime minister of the terrorist Jewish state, or any Jew-worshipping terrorist in America, they don't, they're not interested in truth and justice, and all they can do is lie. And that's a violation of the Ninth Commandment. So it's like it says in Isaiah, their countenance witnesses against them. You know, when you see a Ruth Bader Ginsburg, do you have children?
Yeah, sure.
Would you leave your children with a Ruth Bader Ginsburg looking creature?
She is a creature. She's a creature.
I mean, or Elena Kagan, you know what I mean? I mean, come on. Anyway, John 8:44 in the Ninth Commandment, I say run with it. And what can I say? I mean, you know, I asked you the other day about the outside of San Antonio. Did you get a look at the autopsy photo of Melissa Morrison?
No. Hey, you want to hang on until after the break, and we can you can finish.
Sure. Okay. Y'all, I'll hang on.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back, and I'm talking with Davey from Texas. And Davey, you were in the middle of a thought before we went to break.
Yeah, I think I was talking about Tolkien and the orcs. It just, to me, that's a really pretty good personification of the Jewishness of the Judeo-Christians, the double-minded, brain-dead goy who will wake up and worship the same still sculpture every day because they're so committed to Jew-worshipping, which is stupid. I mean, I don't know a better way to conform, you know, to put the words together to magnify the stupidity of doing the same stupid thing every day. I mean, do you know of a better way to talk about it?
I don't. You know, what you're talking about, it makes me think of this one particular minister I saw down in Charlottesville, you know, on the day on August 12th. I was trying to take a picture of him. He was wearing his frock. He was probably in his 30s, had a beard, and he had a big Black Lives Matter button on him. Well, that's actually what I was trying to take a picture of. He was standing around. It was right just around the corner from where the car incident took place, and he was on cell phones. He was trying to, you know, contact medical personnel, and there was one woman who was lying down. I thought she had heat stroke at the time. At that time I wasn't aware that the accident had taken place. I was just you know, there. Here's this guy in the frock, and I guess he had some sort of rainbow garment on as well, and he was wearing the Black Lives Matter button. And then later on, when I was investigating the car crash, I saw that he was on the scene there within a couple of minutes. He may well have been a witness. If he wasn't a witness to the car accident, he was certainly a witness to all of these Antifa who were walking around with clubs and bats and had attacked the car. And so I wonder how this person, you know, how he can think of himself as a Christian who is commanded not to bear false witness. And there he is, just ignoring this obvious truth all around him, that he was part of a violent mob that was attacking somebody. This young man who then freaked out and caused a car crash, but he was under attack, and it's clear he was under attack. And this person was, you know, dressed in religious garb, and yet promoting this entire lie of.
Have you ever seen that encyclopedia of the Palestine problem?
No, I haven't. But you know, this is our swan song, so you'll have to call back again, David. Talk about it. That you do that? Okay, I will be back tomorrow with another great episode of National Geek.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.